Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse. This is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, we have been, for the last several weeks, in a series, God's Church, God's Work, God's Way. This past Sunday morning, you looked at two really important E words. Is the church established or evolving?
Yeah, and that concept is more than just the church as we think about it. It really focuses around how we see the Bible and what we think God's intentions are and God's plans are. The idea of evolving is it's constantly changing or growing. That the church today doesn't look like the church years ago, and it has to meet the needs of our culture today. That is the mindset of most people today. They would look at that first century model that we read about in our Bible and says, that was great back then, but times have changed, and the church has got to change to keep up with that. And so what we did in this lesson is we just kind of went down that road. And there's a lot of books on the market right now that's really pushing this idea, redefining, reinventing, just changing the nature of the church. And that goes from the organization, that goes to the purpose, that goes to the mission, its outreach, all that is kind of tied in together. So what we looked at is just that very question. Is it established? Is it once for all? This is the way God's plan is. Or is it evolving? Now, when we open the door to the evolving church, we go down that road and say, let's just assume it sounds good in theory, looks good on paper, makes sense to us. But what we're doing then is we're walking away from biblical guidance. God doesn't have anything in this Bible about the evolving church. After that first century model, there's nothing else. So if we say this church is constantly changing, constantly evolving, who's in the organization? How do we develop this? What's this mission supposed to be? We got the mission in the first century. We understand what the Bible tells us to do. But if it changes from that, then we're just following the whims of men, and that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. So our conclusion in that lesson was basically the church is established. What worked then works today. The problems that we face today were the problems they had back then, and what worked then will work today.
So really, really important principle. If our listeners have not had the opportunity to watch or to listen, I would certainly encourage you to go back, watch or listen at charlestownroad.org. But Roger, as we dig a little deeper here in the middle of the week and remind our own church family, what we talked about Sunday, allow that seed to sink a little deeper in our hearts. I thought a particularly interesting section was a quote that you shared by a man named Richard Halverson, and I just want to reread that quote for the sake of time. You shared it to establish some context, and then you went on, but I think the different descriptive words here would really be worth spending a few moments here on this Wednesday thinking through. Halverson wrote, "In the beginning, the church was a fellowship of men and women centered on the living Christ. Then the church moved to Greece, where it became a philosophy. Then it moved to Rome, where it became an institution. Next, it moved to Europe, where it became a culture. And finally, it moved to America, where it became an enterprise." Roger, is that good news or bad news?
That's bad news. Bad news. Halverson is a good reflective historian. And what he does by identifying there, he's really tracing the history of the church as it spread throughout the world. It started in Judea, and that's where we see in the book of Acts that it began with a fellowship of men and women centered on the living Christ. But then it moved to Greece, and we see that at the later pages in the book of Acts. Then it goes to Rome, and that becomes a little twisted there and becomes a center. It's interesting that the book of Romans is what follows Acts. I think it's because that was shifting from Jerusalem to Rome was where the center of things was to be, then Europe, and then America. And so those are kind of the center points of influence in the world throughout history. And what Halvorsen is really driving at is it seems that as it moved from one point to the next point, the purpose, the mission, the focus changed. And what started off as a fellowship of men and women centered on the living Christ ends up being an enterprise.
Yeah.
And what this really shows us is how it goes from spiritual to a business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think he's driving that.
You know, it's interesting, and I think he's exactly right. He does not jump from fellowship to enterprise. It's a slow drift, right? And we are warned in both the Old and the New Testaments repeatedly on our human tendency to slowly drift, not towards God, not towards greater reverence and faithfulness, but away from reverence and humility and faithfulness. And so let's just think through this drift. We've spent a good amount of time over the course of the last few weeks thinking through the church as a fellowship of men and women centered on the living Christ. Anything that you'd like to add just on that note before we move further?
Well, you know, what you find in the very early pages of Acts and then developing through Paul's first letters is you've got culturally these people who are different, like Jews, Gentiles, like slaves and masters, men and women who at that time were very different in their culture, but they became one in Christ. And there's that fellowship. They all had a common problem, and that was sin. They had a common solution, and that was Jesus, and they became community of like believers. That's what the church is, and that's how it started off. And so the center point was Jesus. It wasn't the church building. It wasn't this concept of church. It was Jesus. Lives built on Jesus, centered around Jesus. That's how it all began.
All right, so we go back to the book of Acts. We're on solid footing there. We're under the guidance of the apostles who are being led by the Holy Spirit. This newborn picture that begins in Acts chapter 2 and moves on, that's what we're looking for. So how is the move from fellowship to philosophy a move in a dangerous direction?
Well, philosophy, you know, by its very nature, involves a mindset. It's about thinking. And when we think about philosophers, we may think about Socrates or Aristotle. And even in the mid parts of the book of Acts, Paul went to some places like Athens, which is Greece. And he found some people that just like to hear something new. They like to talk about things that were new and different. Philosophy, you know, by its nature is long on talk and short on doing. And right there, we've shifted from a fellowship where we're in this together, we encourage each other, we help each other, we support each other, to now it's just a matter of talking. And you know, in a lot of ways, I think that's been represented, you know, in modern church today. We talk a lot, but we're kind of short on the doing part. And when we think of passages like the Good Samaritan, Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." In the Galatian letter, Paul said, "As we have opportunity, let us do good." So Christianity was always a blue-collar, roll-up-your-sleeves, let-me-help-you type of religion. But when it moves to philosophy, we're talking, we're arguing, we're speculating, we're debating, but we've kind of shifted away from lives centered around Jesus.
It's interesting to me, you mentioned Athens in Acts chapter 17, and I think that's a great example. You know, we read about the Apostle Paul interacting with Stoic philosophers, right, who loved, as you quoted, nothing more than hearing and seeing something new. And it's interesting to me as you read through Acts chapter 17 and you listen to the Apostles Paul message as he introduces them to this unknown God, when do they cut him off? At the end of Acts chapter 17, verse 30, he frames these as times of ignorance where God, there's only one God who commands all people everywhere to repent because he's fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. And that was where these people who are interested in, you know, thought experiments, they've had enough. You mean you're telling me there's only one God and he commands me to change and he's going to judge me according to a right standard. I'm going to be raised from the dead. Now we're being pulled away from just an intellectual thought experiment into this is real, something I have to respond to. And that's where a lot of these philosophers had heard enough. If I esteem myself too intelligent, too sophisticated to believe in things like righteousness and self-control and coming judgment, I'm in a dangerous position.
Absolutely. And what they do is they want to talk, but they don't want to become.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that very first aspect of Halverson's quote, in the beginning of the church was a fellowship of men and women centered on the living Christ. That fellowship began first with Christ. They were in fellowship with God by walking in the light, as 1 John says, as he was in the light. Now, over here in the wonderful land of philosophy, we can talk all day long, but I don't have to be anything. I can remain cruel. I can remain wicked. I can remain a drunk. Whatever. We're just talking. And it's all theory. And there's nothing practical. And there's no application. And there's no changing. And so when the church shifts to the philosophy mode, all of a sudden we've moved Jesus off center and we're just kind of elevating the thought process of man.
Now, the drifting doesn't stop there. It gets worse, right? To go from a fellowship to a philosophy to an institution.
And this is in Rome. Halverson says that it moved to Rome where it became an institution. I think the picture would be in our mind would be the headquarters of the Catholic Church, the Roman papacy, and how that system, as we see it developing in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and then it's powerful in the 14th, 15th, and 1600s, it became controlling. And what happened was the church became the center, not Jesus. So the church determined what was right, what was wrong. Church determined doctrine, not the Bible. And church determined whether you could go to heaven or not, not God. And so this institution is something that just became a major factory, we could say, and it governed life. When you go back in those time periods, the Catholic Church was appointing kings in different nations, and some of the problems between Germany and France came about because which pope put the guy in there to be king. And so they became a political system there. And once again, that can happen today.
Absolutely. And not just, of course, in history or even in denominationalism, but we can see that tendency at times, perhaps, in the Lord's Church, right? It is perhaps a flavor or a slice of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, who has abandoned the love you had at first. When you read about this fellowship of men and women centered on the living Christ, one of the words, of course, that you read over and over again in the book of Acts is devotion. devotion springs from a sense of fidelity and love, right? But when I abandon the love I have at first, maybe some sort of an institution is being maintained, but my heart is far from God.
That's it. And so what they do is they keep the system of church going, but they have forgotten fellowship with God. And it's not a lot different from little kids just playing church. Yeah. And all you're doing is going through the motions.
Yeah. So, okay. It gets worse, right? Further from the ideal. We move from fellowship to philosophy to institution to a culture.
Culture is a way of life. It's following what's popular. And we talk sometimes about the culture of America or our society. Those are kind of synonymous terms. It's kind of like following the leader. And so when it becomes a culture, it just becomes what everyone wants. And by the time it got to Europe, historically, is very twisted, very corrupted. It was not like what we read in the book of Acts. And so you just have people being religious just for the sake of being religious and not really following Jesus Christ. When we look at these terms, philosophy, institution, culture, then we're going to wind up here in a minute in enterprise. I mean, you could say, well, which is better or which is worse? It's kind of like saying, would you rather have a heart attack or would you rather have cancer? I mean, it's like, what other option is there? Because none of those are good options. And the culture, it's interesting. Today, I've been to Europe, massive cathedrals, huge church buildings, empty. And someone says that describes the religion of Europe today. It's just empty. Nothing is there. And that again was what happens when it moves from a philosophy to a institution to a culture. It's just what you do, but there's no heart, no thought, no meditation, no purpose behind it. I just do it because I'm supposed to do it. Yeah. And it's like getting up, going to work, and I just got to do it, and you don't really care. And that's what happens.
Yeah, it is perhaps a generational sort of thing. This is just what we've always done. This is what my grandparents did. This is what my parents did. This is what I do, but I couldn't tell you why. I don't have a personal relationship with God. This is just what is often referred to perhaps as cultural Christianity, right? Where we've got these traditions. I'm not sure whether or not they're in the Bible. It might be somewhere in the Bible. And for the sake of just keeping some sort of a cultural ball rolling, I do that. It makes me perhaps feel a little bit better about myself, salves my conscience. But what is missing is authentic relationship.
And what happens to a person in that area, they really become very miserable because they have too much of the world in them to do any good. You know, so they're uncomfortable around Christians because they've got too much of the world in them. But when they're with the people of the world, they've got just enough Christianity that they feel guilty. And so they're really a man without a country. And you see that sometimes even today. You see grown children coming and they don't seem to be interested. They don't really participate. They're just, and when you look at them, they just like they're zoned out. Some of them spend worship by playing on their phone the whole time. And you just wonder when mom and dad are out of the picture, grandma and grandpa pass away, will these people even show up? Because it's just a culture. It's not who they are.
Yeah, yeah. We've got one more word in this fascinating quote, and that is enterprise.
Enterprise. And I think that's where we are today in America. Big business, a corporation. You know, we don't have too many TV preachers today because that kind of has faded away, but we still got the mega preachers flying around their big jets and taking the little widows' checks as they tell these sad, sad stories, selling everything. Big, big corporation, big corporate concept. And what has become in America is a multi-billion dollar business. And so what they do is, what can I do to keep the revenue coming? What can I do to keep the people coming? More book sales, more this, more this. And all of it is it's wrapped around this idea of more is better and business, and the dollar is what it's all about. And that turns a lot of people off. There's a lot of people who've seen the scandals of the preachers through the years. There's a lot of people who see this lifestyle of some of these preachers that just do not seem genuine at all. And it's enough to make some people really question what they're doing.
It strikes me as we look at these words, from fellowship to philosophy to institution to culture to enterprise, in a lot of ways, it sure does seem like I move further away from God and much closer to myself. Where I start out with God, I'm centered on the living Christ. But then, you know, it just kind of becomes theoretical, not practical, and my heart in it. And then it becomes this institution where, well, you know, I'm going through the motions. I'm still maintaining some sort of facade or structure. And then it moves to just a cultural thing that I take for granted. And eventually, maybe I figure out a way to get something out of it if I make it all about me. What a sad trajectory that we see.
It is. And, you know, and Paul would even, in the book of Philippians, talk about those who were preaching and their motives were not right. They were preaching for vain reasons. And that can happen today as we think about that. Colossians 3, verse 4, which I used in the sermon there, talked about when Christ, who is our life. That you can't have that and having the church being a philosophy or an institution or an enterprise or culture. When Christ is your life, you have a relationship and you have a fellowship with Jesus. And so what's interesting, as Halvorsen has documented this, you know, we see this historically as churches have moved from location to location as you think about the history. But I think the same thing can happen individually to a person.
Absolutely.
I think a person can start off by being baptized in Jesus. They love the Lord, but enough time passes and that love kind of cools off, and then it moves into a philosophy. And I love coming to Bible class so we can talk. We can talk about everybody who's wrong, or talk about this and talk about that, and just a lot of talking. Then the institution aspect, and then the culture aspect, then the enterprise aspect. And what's happened is, through the years, I've lost that love, as we read about in the book of Ephesians, or the book of Revelations about Ephesus. And we can become dead like Sardis was, or we can become lukewarm like Laodicea was. What happened to all those churches? What happened was, it moved. It didn't move locations, but it moved from Jesus.
They had a reputation of being alive, but in the eyes of Jesus, they were dead. And that matters, because as we've been reminding ourselves for several weeks now, our great aim, our calling, the privilege that we have to be a part of, is to be God's church, God's work, God's way. Such an important lesson. And again, if you have not had the opportunity to walk through that, study right along with that, I would definitely encourage you to go. It is right there, front and center, at charlestownroad.org. Well worth your time in diving into that. Roger, it is Wednesday this evening. We're looking forward to the opportunity to take a step further on a couple of different fronts. You're going to be in the auditorium with several of our adults.
Yes, and we're still walking through the book of Ezra. We'll be in chapter 8 this week, and we welcome each of our listeners to come and join us, or join us on the live stream as we continue this Old Testament study of Ezra and the concept of getting back to where God wants them to be.
In our Building Blocks track of studies, we have just begun this past Sunday an exploration for the month of the fruit of the Spirit. What did the Apostle Paul mean when he described the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5? We're going to look at the first of those, Lord willing, this evening at 7 o'clock p.m., the Spirit's fruit of love. Very, very relevant and practical with what we've been talking about over the course of the last few minutes. We would love to see you this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. This coming Sunday morning, Lord willing, I've got the opportunity to wrap this entire series up. It strikes me that we've talked about a lot of ideals, a lot of important principles. We hopefully have our eyes more sharply and clearly on the goal, but we are all individuals and churches, works in progress. And so we're going to wrap this whole series up by talking about the imperfect churches of the perfect Christ. And we would love to have you join us here at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're looking forward to tonight. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.